Welcome back. I am so glad you're here. This is Let's Dig Into That, where our mission is to empower honest conversations that foster deeper connection and understanding, to encourage open dialogue about culture, relationships, and the ideas that shape the world. We volunteer our vulnerability in pursuit of growth and lasting change.
We sure do.
Yeah. And Who do I do this with? As always, no matter if it's fact or fiction, her words are beautiful, meaningful, and full of creative diction. She believes in the magic of birds and the power of words. It's Jordan, everybody.
What's up, baby? Bird magic.
When you see birds, you're like, hey, your dad visited me today. You believe in the magic.
I actually have had two bird moments birds today. This little blue guy just hanging out.
Yes.
Yeah, I came to say thank you for new breakfast.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's true. Bird magic.
Nuts never, and berry bird seed.
Never knew. So that's me. That's Jordan. And I am here with my frantic romantic, the Skittle schemer and dark chocolate dreamer. It's Mr. Good Good himself. JT.
Woo!
I love work it. In good and
I
plenty.
Want some candy.
I know. I must be a little peckish. So I just have a silly curiosity for you.
Uh-huh.
If I were to ask 7-year-old JT
how
he measured success.
Probably concussed.
Yes, he was probably slightly concussed at the time. Moving at a high speed until full stop.
Yep.
But how would 7-year-old JT measure success?
Oh, I know exactly how to answer this.
I did not expect that reaction. Okay. All right.
So about when I was 7.
Okay.
Do you know what Schwann's is?
Oh, the food delivery.
They deliver like frozen goods and dairy products.
Okay.
But it's mostly sweet treats like ice cream sandwiches and like, you know, the drumstick chocolate covered stuff. And when we...
So an ice cream man in bulk?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I like that.
When that Schwann's man started stopping at our house, I was like, we have made it.
We have arrived.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, when does your ice cream sandwiches arrive? Mine's on Thursday. See you later.
See, Jeff. Shit-talking successful Schwann's
kid. Yeah, when the Schwann's man, when we had a subscription to get our ice cream delivered to us weekly, that's when I was like, we're doing something right. We're here. We have arrived. Constant sweet treats.
That's
probably not the answer you're looking for.
I love it. And so still the same. Still the same measure of success 30 plus years later. How do you?
I miss being a kid.
Right?
It was so nice to be like.
I'd argue a big part of you still hanging out in that zone. And so I'm into it.
The things that made you feel successful or, because that's what I think you're trying to get to here. The things that made you feel successful or accomplished or fulfilled were so, you know, simple, everyday, run-of-the-mill, but they filled you up to a level that I'm not sure I've experienced as an adult.
Well, that's an excellent, yeah, because your little itty-bitty baby culture is your household and your neighborhood.
Yes.
And, you know, we were raised in a pre-social media childhood.
Yes, we were.
And so it is crazy that you're looking to those adults for what are those markers of success.
Markers
what are they chasing?
Success.
I know, I feel like that got a little
no, squirrel, I love it. That's like... what we're doing here. We're redefining success.
I would like to take a moment because I think we have to.
Yes.
What I'm realizing is there are things that I have actively chased and made it and felt nothing.
Like, yes.
Ta-da.
I think that we've all felt that.
And so I was like, how can I catch myself in the act and make sure? And yeah, I think it takes a redefining. And so I did want to poke you a little bit. Schwann's took it to the next level.
Yeah. Well, I there's categories in my mind.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Of like success. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't think you can just say success and I don't have enough context there. I want to know like particularly like status-wise, is that sort of...
That
like
makes
sense, I think
right.
There's a lot of folks
because like
that,
career success, material good accumulation
right.
success, that it, keeping up with the Joneses.
Right, which I would argue
is a status,
instantly
right?
that that's not a real measure of success. Wouldn't you?
Well, it is true that if you are the material goods hunt, and everybody's like, we have to reiterate once again and choose you that this is our personal experience.
Yes.
But the reasons why you're hungry and chasing what you're hungry for can differ wildly. But if you are keeping up just to keep up, and there's no gratification at the end. Someone is always willing to spend more money than you.
Absolutely.
To go in more debt than you. That is, yeah, I'm with you with kind of a tragic,
It really is. And when I think of success as like your status, it's all external. You know, like I think so many of us measure, I'm guilty of it. I think probably all people do this, but why is it that you want that luxury car or whatever it is? Is it because the fulfillment you get from that, from other people looking at you like, oh, wow, he's got that.
Yeah,
like,
you've made it.
I really think to define your own success as far as status goes, you have to think about what actually fills your cup, you know?
Right. If that, I think what you're hitting on is if the symbol matches up with your value, your values on the inside, if those things are in alignment, then you're kind of great shape, right?
Absolutely.
Good to go. But if that symbol has no value on the inside, then it's fruitless and expensive.
Exactly.
Usually.
It's just a very, very expensive mask in my opinion. And like, I wish that we could all take a step back and see what success really means to us. Cause in my opinion, it's about perspective. And I'll use a really quick example. I already started the car thing, and I'll just use that real quick. We've talked a lot about cars recently.
But... And we are car people, but
we're not.
It's kind of, you know.
But it's a status symbol for sure. But, like, I don't know if you've ever seen a tour of these car collectors' garages. People like Jay Leno.
Okay.
Almost every time they go through all these amazing, rare, expensive cars, and then they go, and that one's my favorite. And it's the broken down thing that they're working on
probably.
That has a sentimental value from their past.
This was my dad's dream car, my mom's first date.
And so what does that tell you about status? I've got all these ridiculous things, but this one's the most meaningful to me. Where's your perception? Like, what are you looking at? Like, I think status actually comes from within, whether you choose to see that or not. Because we get so lost in social media. We get so lost in other people's success and think that their success is going to make us feel successful. And that's not what happens.
Right. The social scroll of shame of when you see you're like, obviously these 3, 4, 5, 6 folks are checking these boxes and they're all doing it. They've got the new trendy dog. They've got the vacation. The vacation spot, the designer, whatever. And I feel just depleted and empty and like, screw all that. I'm never going to. But there are some of those things make like designer clothing. Fantastic, looks great on some people. It's not.
No, I mean
it can. When I think of design,
when I think of designer clothing, I literally think of like, oh, I like how that looks. I wonder if I can find something that looks similar that's not designer.
I wonder if I can whittle it.
Exactly. I wonder if I can make that happen at Ross. You know what I mean?
Like that's
success to me in terms of like I can pull off that look, but I'm going to do it for way cheaper, and then I feel successful about it. Like,
right?
I still get the best of both worlds, and I'm not sure that that's healthy either, but because that's still an external thing that I'm taking in. You know, like I'm curious if I can pose a question to you.
Bring it on.
If you had to take a step back and say, just for your personal
perspective was the right word. I was like, thank God someone said it. Thank you.
What would you say your measure of success is for you personally when we're talking about status particularly?
Ooh. Status. So I have chased career achievements.
Yes.
And made, you know, I get medals. There are plaques that exist and I like that. For me, it is a requirement more than success. So I think for me, how I would define that is probably freedom.
Freedom.
Yeah. But that's my...
No, I think
I have the opportunity and the wherewithal with my boundaries to say yes and say no and be present. And I'm a big time lover of the giving. And so to be able to like
clap
make
hands.
that freedom of being able to spoil and cherish and hopefully show my people I love them in a way that they like to be loved. And so like I have a girlfriend that we can truly solve the problems of the world. If given a long enough strip of sand, we can handle it. And so if I could, that freedom to be able, like we're headed to the beach, we need to talk through some stuff would be absolute. So I think that's my status symbol. Interesting. Good question.
Well, I asked that question. So
do you think I'm close?
I think that you hit it on the head for you. I think this is an individual question. Exactly, I don't think that you can answer this for people. I think you have to be introspective and actually think about what it is that fills your cup, makes you feel fulfilled. But I was curious because there was a study referenced by the Harvard Business
Review.
Mm-hmm. Review, and it was that I think it was CEOs and entrepreneurs are like twice at higher. Yes. They have twice the amount of depression than the regular population.
You want me to read this? This fact?
Yeah. If you could get,
so this was a late 2023 Harvard Business Review study, but 72% of successful, quote unquote, entrepreneurs suffer from depression or other mental health concerns. And CEOs may be depressed at more than double the rate of the public at large.
That is insane to me.
Yeah, those are some really
intense. And that just says to me, like, how many of us are chasing the wrong things that make us feel fulfilled? If your job and your achievements actually lead to depression, you're probably on the wrong path.
That's at value disconnect.
Value disconnect. Exactly, yeah. Correct.
And I would be so curious, like, how COVID rocked
some
worlds of, yeah, a lot of those, if you aren't receiving that acknowledgement, if you are, I think there was a lot of valuation shakedown of, man, I thought it was important to live in this zip code, and COVID was like, I miss everyone. Yes, to have my support system. I think there was probably a lot of re-migration back home.
Great point. With a global pandemic, I think our environment forced most of us to reevaluate what we consider to be success. You know, the connections that we have with the people that we love, that's something that I would say is a measure of success in my life.
Right.
And those are the things you had to cultivate. And it was like a step back in time. And we're still experiencing it, where people are still like, huh, was my time commuting to this office worthwhile to see these people in person? Or did I get the same fulfillment of working from home, where I had a better work-life balance and got to connect with the people in my home more? And so people are, whether you realize it or not, I think everyone is sort of having this moment of, what really defines me as a success? What do I...
Because again, you know? No one's, we've established we can't keep up, and right. No one gives a hoot about us. And so it's incredibly critical that we take the time. And that is my struggle, is like the checking in, where I'm like, okay, what will make the majority happy? That has been my quest of life, is like, okay, how will this please this group of people? Like, that was a really big motivator.
And where did it lead you? Like, how did it make you feel?
So have I mentioned I've been married before? Before you, there was this other guy. And it was like, I, at a young age, didn't necessarily think that I was, unlike you, where I think you held relationship success at a much higher level. And I was,
I don't know about
whatever
that.
Whatever that. But you, I think, had maybe even relationship status. That would be a better use of words there. That,
okay.
That was important. And I was like, this is the should do. This is a good person, and I'm supposed to. I'm at that age.
Checks the boxes.
Marker.
He checked the
boxes. Yes, I was at that time in life. We had dated. I followed the rules. And whoa, was that. And, you know, there were moments of happiness, you know, of course, but no, not a fit person-wise, not necessarily as I've gotten married again, but whoa, did I think, like, I don't care what's parked in your garage. If that's not a fit, like, I don't know if the other things matter. That was really, really tricky. And so,
well said. Well
yeah,
said.
When I got divorced, I went, yay. Where most people might go, holy shit, how I look like a failure, a big fat failure in the relationship way. And I was like, watch me bounce. But I feel that's not the case for every human. And
no.
So, but I was lucky enough to come to the realization and then self-sabotage magnificently and just wiggle on out.
And self-sabotage, do you think that came because you weren't feeling authentically?
Oh, I think I was being called out on, you did this for a number of wrong reasons. And again, there was a lot of positive, like, you know, there were pluses and a lot of well-intentioned meh.
We're not throwing shade. We're just saying.
I can be a little shady if you want to, but.
No, I think just missteps and
yeah, not but knowing. I knew. I ignored my intuition and my body was like, okay, here we are. And so it did require a lot of reworking that perspective.
You said age. And I think that that's right? So interesting.
It's like the, yes.
I look back to this like construct of, man, I remember being in a doctor's office when I was like barely even able to speak. Like that's how young I am.
Seven.
Hearing about these measures.
Hey, sorry.
That's potty training. Come on.
I'm teasing.
No, but the hearing about these measures. Okay, well, we're
milestones.
We're at about 18 months, so we should be having this many words in our vocab and blah, blah. But that continues on and on and on and on and on throughout our entire lives of like, okay, now we have this natural progression into puberty. You could be an early or late bloomer in that sense. And there's all these age markers where I've heard constant, I've dated people who have been like, by age 26, I want to buy my first property. And by 30, I want to make sure that I'm pregnant with my first child. And we use our life as it progresses with age and time as where we're successful. And I think it is complete bullshit. And for lack of, like, I don't have
sound
better,
effect.
I don't have better words for it, but that is a built-in construct that we all feel and recognize on how we define our own success. And it is from birth on these like milestones that we're supposed to achieve. And people feel behind if they haven't accomplished these things. And it's such a falsehood.
Oh, and just messes with you for life being, you know, marked, use that word again, as deficient, behind, inadequate, that lacking, like all of that screws with your head and your little spirit too.
Yeah. And I want to go back to perspective a little bit and I'm going to use my older sister. My older sister is now a homeowner and all that kind of stuff. But for most of her 20s and early 30s, she was like, I prefer renting. I understand.
Mm-hmm. I see the perk.
I understand the wealth and like what comes from being a property owner and how it's a good investment. However, that investment does not overweigh the needing to fix all these things, maintain my own household.
Right, the peace of mind.
She enjoyed the aspect of having a landlord that handled those things and it outweighed the benefit of what it, and that was her perspective and it led to happiness and she felt successful. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great example of like, all of this is sort of ingrained in us by a society, an external source, but it doesn't have to be what defines you and your success.
Right. As you call BS on the construct,
yeah.
It is kind of a cool, you know, that it's a timeline-esque. It's a recommend, if you're brave enough or have the moment in time to go, it's a recommendation in place. And before I take these steps, a reassessment, because it is bananas that we turn 18 and we're like, all right, figure it out. And all your, if you're lucky, your crew kind of disperses too, and they live different lives. And then it's, oh shit, who am I? Do I follow this path? And where did the parents go? You know, like suddenly I'm supposed to be adulting on my own. And I feel very lucky that I was raised in a household with an entrepreneur and a PhD.
Right.
These are different, but they both included passion.
Yes.
They both worked their asses off to push and to define, like, meaning. They found meaning in their work, and that was really inspiring. But I felt lucky to have, like, where I could define, because I couldn't chase both of them.
Right.
And so I had an opportunity, and not everybody. You had parents that worked together. Like, your only
amazing.
Job was
do I don't
this.
Know. Yeah, I don't know how they did it for so many years. But I love what you're saying right now. You're highlighting purpose. I can't.
Fulfillment.
I can't possibly understate how important that is. And we did get to witness our parents working and doing the things that felt purposeful to them. That's truly, I had to break it down into like a one sentence, how I would define success is someone who's figured out how to feel purposeful in most areas of their life. And status is probably the biggest one. If you feel like you're important or you're helping a cause, I think a cause is a big thing for me personally. Mm-hmm. Again, only taking my own experience here. But that's really what I think the common denominator here is. People who feel successful feel like they're serving a purpose, right?
Agree. And that's kind of the, I'm in humanity. I've got a toe in. I'm part of something bigger. Your cause may be making a wonderful family moment.
Right.
Might be just your lawn care. Who knows? But having the cause be greater than that, but putting your whole heart behind it and having that purposeful drive Absolutely. Is contagious. Can I tell you what the measure of success was for PhD, though? I'm going to out her right here.
Because,
I'm a spoiler on her birthday. But she worked very hard. Big, big family. We've mentioned multiple times.
Yep.
And so not super wealthy. And matching skivvies.
That was her measure of success. Really, that was her Schwann's man.
Really, really tricky. And bullying is a son of a gun. That was her Schwann's man of being in the locker room and not being in a household that had, and unfortunately she raised a daughter that doesn't really give a hoot about, my undies are more likely to match my overalls than they are each other.
What outfit can I wear and not have to wear a bra?
And it is a fabulous, and that was her quest. And it was, just a funny household, but where she's like, I don't understand. Like, I have worked so hard to give you this gift of this matching cuteness. And I'm like, so it's not Thursday. I'm wearing my Thursday skivs. Don't give a hoot.
But I love that because, again, mm-hmm. it goes back to the perspective.
That fulfilled her.
That she's putting on an underlayer of mm-hmm. like, this makes me feel like I've made it. I've accomplished some of my goals. Let's go get more. Like, I totally get that. It's more of a motivation, but that's truly an amazing
The power
example.
Of matching skivs. This episode of Let's Dig Into That is brought to you by...
Do you ever wonder if your family tree's got some serious juice? Like, maybe you're linked to the Illuminati or Skull and Bones. Well, stop being a regular person and start riding the wave of true power with Origins and Effort, the only DNA testing service that goes beyond your average ancestry stuff and goes straight into your elite genes. Just like a colon cancer test, but way cooler, you send in a little sample of your poo, and we dig deeper to see if your family's got connections to the shadowy figures running the world. Maybe your great-great-great-granddad was pulling strings in the Oval Office, or maybe you're related to the big kahunas and the Freemasons. You could just hit the jackpot. Then it's time to hop on the gravy train and exploit all those hidden global secrets. Forget working 9-to-5. Use your new profound influence to cash in. Origins and Effort. Turn your doo-doo into buku.
So, babe, how would you separate, like, true success from these symbols then of in, like, the context of a relationship?
Oh, so no more status. Talking about in
true
a relationship.
Success versus the symbols, because the symbols...
Oh, man. Well, I really think, like, what we feel from the outside world, what we see on Instagram, what we see, and it's so hard not to get lost in, but... The status symbols of a relationship are like, you have the beautiful kiddos. You've mm-hmm. got the big house with the white picket fence and the cars and the good job and all that kind of stuff. And once again, I'm going to call complete bullshit on that measure of success in a relationship. The way that I look at success in a relationship is being able to communicate and connect efficiently. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good one.
When I'm unhappy in a relationship, it's because we can't communicate. I think you can break it down to that simple aspect of things. If you are set up to have the hard conversations, dig into what's important. The idea of a successful relationship, in my mind, is each partner supports the other person in their individual ventures. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're a guiding light to that. And I've said this before.
Supporting their success.
Making sure that you're a guiding light for them to be authentically themselves. And if you can do that for each other, that's how I would define a successful relationship. It's not how long your marriage lasts. It's not how many kids you're able to produce. It's not what your kids go on to do. It's simply the dynamic. When you two are alone, do you lift each other up or are you pulling each other down?
Wow, I like it.
Boom. That's
Boom.
It.
Boom. and an understanding that can, for some, much like the car example that you use, like having the grandkids of great magnanimous achievement, sure. And then, yes, we chose not to have kids, that is everyone, again, a reiteration of the behind closed doors, that personal kind of account.
When we talk about this, and this is part of a relationship, but it's kind of about success overall. But I just want to say one of my favorite emotions, one of my favorite feelings that we get to experience as people is pride. And pride is a giant indicator. That is your litmus test that maybe you either have done something right in the past that you're now prideful of. That's a measure of success. It right? truly is. And so to be proud of your kids, your grandkids, whatever it is, that means you've done something right. You know what I mean? And if you're proud of an achievement that you've accomplished, proud of your relationship, you're probably on the right path.
Agreed. And I love that you picked a word that's kind of connotatively hit or miss, where it's like, how dare you do anything selfish is another one, and be prideful. And there's a difference between being boastful and in your face about it. But yeah, when you sleep well at night, kind of the and go, I did damn good.
Yes.
I feel good about that.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's really great. Because pride seems like a dangerous, like I said, like, oh, well, isn't he cocky today?
Well, the word has been used in different contexts, but the context that I'm referring to it as is truly, like, if you're proud, I wish more people, like, we're redefining success. The message that I'd put out to people is don't chase monetary value. Do not chase these status symbols. And I would even say, don't chase happiness because it's too broad. Chase pride because pride comes with happiness.
Because I do feel that success and happiness are connected, but we cannot stress enough that we're seeing that not all the time, more often than not, if your measure of success is connected to your value, happiness is a likely result.
Exactly correct.
And you would argue pride might be more accurate.
That's the commonly defined, understandable term that I think we all have a good understanding of, that you can actually put on a vision board or whatever of, I want to be proud of myself. If you achieve that goal, your other goals are going to have check marks next to them as well.
Falling into place.
Yes.
I agree with you there.
But you were talking about relationships.
What do you think about our culture of, like, think about who we admire? You were talking about the longevity of marriages maybe not being necessarily like that means you've done well. Sticking it out in misery.
It can.
Good for you. But it absolutely can. Yeah. But I think about who we admire in our little, and it's athletes and actresses, actors, not the musicians, and these rock star lifestyles, and dramatic often, because like this reality TV and Instagram exposure, like we're in it.
Yeah.
For the heightened good and for the absolutely outlandish that can look like, oh, I need, if boring, a healthy relationship is boring because that's the passion. That's what I'm looking for, is this tour bus chaos.
Yeah, I think there is a misconception inside relationships that when you do things well, that it's boring and there's no excitement and all that kind of stuff. And your answer on freedom, that's exactly sort of what I see in our relationship that keeps us alive, is what makes you feel fulfilled and purposeful is having the freedom to travel, to assist, to speak your piece, to be courageous.
Walk out the door and not have to ask permission.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And that freedom really creates a dynamic for us to continue to learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good one.
I want to be in a position, and the way that I define our success in our relationship is that we have the ability to continue to grow. Because when you become stagnant and you're running the same routine over and over again, that's when you can feel stuck. And that's when you can feel like maybe you're not successful. Or again, going back to your perception, your success is your own perception. And we've been coached through our society, through social media, through so many different avenues, through these age milestones, that success is defined by those things. When you get to define your success, period.
Yep.
And so your freedom answer, I thought, was so relevant to what we're trying to do and redefine success, because your idea of success didn't include any of those status things. It was the freedom to do
I can have
what
them if
you
I want them.
Exactly. Your choice in the matter.
Yes.
And so inside of our relationship, I think we do the same thing. We stay curious. We learn. We want to be in a position to continue to grow.
That sounds very enticing. No, I think that was really having those two, yeah, and your desire to pump up your partner, to encourage that individuality is really important. On that note, the personal growth aspect,
Yes.
Like the age to achieve certain milestones we kind of touched on. But I think that we are also in this time that I feel like if you aren't, I can't even imagine the mom competition out there, but if you aren't actively doing all of these self-love treatments with your, yeah. you've got Eckhart Tolle on speed dial kind of moment, are you successful? If you are not, or if we cannot perceive that you are actively trying to improve yourself.
Well, personal is the first part of that. And again, I'm going to use that perspective.
And so like, why do I care so much about everybody else's judgments? Why is the perception?
That's because it's really challenging. We've been coached our entire lives to use those as our,
measure it
as
against
our
something.
Gauges.
How would I know?
Why can't you measure it against your soul and your and who you are?
Oh,
and
the ultimate question, why aren't we measuring kids?
But
I love it.
You talked about these people that we admire. Mm-hmm. And admiration, I think, is actually a really good comparison tool, even though I hate the word comparison and we should try to eliminate all kinds of comparisons, but that's how we work as people. We see something and we look inward, and it's mostly comparison, to be honest, but it's really not always healthy.
But admiration charges me up to want to do better.
You talked about the culture and the people that we admire and people who do podcasts like this and the self-help personal growth realm. We do respect a lot of people in that category and sort of started this because people have inspired us. Admiration's a good quality. You can definitely feel a lack of courage and see it in someone else and want to achieve that same thing. The scary part is it might not give you the satisfaction you thought. And so being aware is also relatively important.
Yeah, again, that constantly reassessing, redefining that awareness, because it can change. You never know the day you, meet that somebody that inspires you to...
Exactly. And there's a...
Change the script.
There is a current culture of self-help, life coaching...
Then if it goes right, goes away, right?
Exactly.
Everybody's healed.
If you don't feel compelled to listen to these things, I'm going to clap for you. Good for you. You probably feel purposeful and feel like you're achieving the things that you always mm-hmm. wanted to. That's a good thing. Like, not everyone needs to be listening to these things, but if it offers you a boost and helps you align what actually is meaningful to you and makes you feel purposeful, that's the point. That's right. Why we do this is like, we're going to talk about hard things in hopes that you have the same conversations to maybe get past a blockage or something in your life that can lead to more joy. That's what we're after.
Exactly. Getting back to the happy and satisfaction. Because again, I even feel like it's more of a chill joy. Like, ooh. Success should just be like a cozy, that freedom where there is a confidence of,
absolutely.
Deluded or not, but like, this is going to be all right. Yeah. And so imposter syndrome is an interesting, like, I just feel like, when you get there, because I'm like, okay, you see this person you admire, I've worked so hard, I'm chasing, and then, I don't get that. What is, can you tell me?
I just
threw that word out not knowing.
I like it. I was blown away when I was reading about imposter syndrome, because I always understood the concept. First off, it's important to note, it's not a mental disorder. It is something that, it's a sensation that we can all feel.
But it's like sweeping. It's like
in fact, I think 70% of people feel this throughout their life.
Experience a moment or, extended period of imposter syndrome.
And so imposter syndrome, again, I don't know if we have the clear definition, but it's just basically feeling like the success that you've created or the perceived success that you've created isn't deserved. Like, you're not actually that smart. You're not actually
that gifted. You're discounting the value.
You're discounting your own value.
By making it look easy, right. By it coming so naturally to you.
Well, a lot of times if you see something that's hard for others, but it's easy for you, you carry this self-guilt. Like, other people struggle with this, and I'm really good at it. And honestly, what most people do is hide it.
Oh, hide their talent?
Yes.
They've got,
that's like the commonality. And so when you quit hiding your talent and put it on display for the world, a lot of times you can feel like, I'm an imposter because this was so easy for me. And it,
this
is just what I'm good at. And it's so hard for other people. And it can create this like sort of feeling of wah-wah that you're not really who you say you are.
Right.
But it's false, in my opinion. You know, like it's a scare tactic. I believe when we're on the path to something great in our lives, there is going to be an incredible amount of self-doubt generally. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage our listeners to see that as you're getting close. You're almost there.
Oh, that's really good advice.
When you start doubting yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if this is the right path. That is a defense mechanism to protect yourself. That greatness is on the other side of it.
Power through.
Power
Easier
through.
Easier said than done. I'm like the worst thing. But it's true that it feels like everything is about to crumble because it is, your body is going into a self-protection.
Right.
Fear-based.
Exactly. I want to throw some credit out. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Go ahead.
Jen Sincero, another author that we really love and respect, has a book called You Are a Badass. And it sort of opens with, if you're feeling uncomfortable, if things appear to be more challenging than they used to be, it means you're on the precipice of greatness.
Hang on.
Keep pushing through.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so how do we, again, I'm still kind of hung up on the, all right, I'm going to get away from these external markers and identifiers of I've made it. And then in our relationship, how much I'm curious how much I should let you, because again, how much should, because I would have thought your idea of success in a relationship, your word, I think learn was awesome, but I would have guessed team.
Team or balance is another word that I would throw in there in a relationship is, I already talked about sort of being that stick next to the flower that needs to grow tall. That's what I think of.
That support rod for that little plant.
Well, I think in a relationship, you have to be that from time to time, but you also have to let yourself be that growing plant. And so the balance is really hard, but the way that I define a successful relationship is you show up for your partner in the ways they need you to, and you also feel like your partner is showing up in the same way for yourself. And it's not easy. It's not something that comes naturally. It takes work. It takes effort. And I'm trying to get away from that work moment because relationships should be fun and exciting.
Says who? jury's still out. Work and worth it could be tied up in there, but I'm with you.
But back to my words of balance. Mm-hmm. If you're constantly working on your relationship, probably not ideal. You got to have the balance aspect where you do the work and you feel the benefit of the work.
And it is amazing that I'm realizing how much I take for granted in this relationship, you and me, and how attuned to that I can be in my friendships and other relationships.
Really?
Where it is incredibly important to me to make sure like I'm investing. If I'm going, oh, I haven't heard from so-and-so, I will first go, I have been that jerkwad of a friend. And so I feel that being that, you know, stick and flower support. Is everybody with us in this potted plant scenario? it's important that they know they can reach out.
Absolutely.
And I'm there.
That
and
you're
so,
there for them.
Yes, when I look at our relationship, I'm just expecting you to be the stick and I'm going to do my own little growth dance over here.
It's so typical. We all do that.
And my perspective should, because I was thinking that I like our team goals, where we're headed, but I don't need your success definition to match up with mine.
Okay.
I'd prefer it not be opposite, and they're definitely,
good point.
I think it does have to, because I do think, someone being courageous and curious, while, like you said, I'm a lot of C's coming at alliteration, while being committed to a cause, while having that giving sort of drive that, kind of close in the same realm, but I don't think they have to be the same.
I don't think they have to be the same either. That's sort of what I'm saying with this balance idea is if that is your idea of success, I want to make sure I do everything in my power to not just support it, but not get in the way of it. And that's really hard to do in a relationship. A lot of times our own desires pull from our partners. And that's why the communication aspect and why I value that so heavily is we both need to achieve our dreams and we can't get in the way of each other either. And it's not an easy thing to do, but it's possible.
But man, does it reiterate your why?
Yeah.
When you start digging into like, you know what, I'm going for this and I'm going to, taking no prisoners. This is what I am setting my sights on.
Well, perspective switches. And I've talked about perspective.
Working on it.
A lot. And so you have this perception, but that's your perception of our relationship is not uncommon, is not unusual, and is not unhealthy. A lot of people take for granted the people that are closest to them. Mm-hmm. That's why when the people we love are often the only people we ever scream at in our entire lives.
true that you
how crazy is that? You know what I mean? But so
everyone
I hope you
just stop screaming.
I hope you give yourself some grace of like thinking about your friendships. It switches. That's what I'm sort of talking about. Perspective is you get to choose what's the most meaningful aspect to make you feel fulfilled and purposeful. Sometimes it is going to be your relationships with your friends, and other times it's going to be your relationship with me. And that has to be the case. I can't do all of that for you.
Right.
And you can't do all of that for me.
The village. But I think it's cool because we have every moment is an opportunity to redefine it, look at it differently, decide what you want. And yes, but we did an episode on manifesting not too long ago, like the visualizing of that. Because again, I do think if you choose not to take the time to decide where it is you want to point that energy and time, I do think that general empty, like there will be just a constant lack.
Yeah.
That there will, and that, so it's worth it to your own self to decide to have that fulfillment be a natural source.
I couldn't agree with you more, especially in the sense where I think that there are people in our society, and I've lived this way in points of my life, that only chase what they're being told to chase. And if you are only doing that and only chasing the things that other people are telling you you should have and want, you're never going to feel purposeful or fulfilled. You know what I mean? It has to come from within for you to really feel successful. And yeah, other people might say that person is really, really successful. And like the CEOs of most of our companies, you're going home and you're wicked depressed. You know what I mean? It's a scary reality, but you have to know what it is that makes you feel purposeful.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Get to know thyself. So we've learned that the Joneses are lying.
Yes.
It's up to you. Yeah.
Yeah. The Joneses are probably arguing every night, but they might have every car you've ever wanted and that big old RV or whatnot, but that's not a measure of success. Pride is what I'm going to go to as we're ending this episode. Try to achieve pride. Make yourself feel proud of yourself.
Yeah, you deserve it.
And see what happens and see if you feel successful if you're proud of yourself. Because I bet you will.
And exactly. We hope that this conversation leads everybody to feel exactly that. Like, dang, I am doing.
You decide your own success.
Yeah, we are, as always, big proponents of the celebrating the wins.
Yes.
And finding those, throw the party when you get there. And so
and
take
one of
the
my
time
words,
to take stock.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt you. One of my words was learn. We make mistakes. Learn from them. Do better. That's the other way.
Learn from us. Don't even do it yourself. Like, let us just screw up and like just, okay. But thank you so much. This was great.
I really enjoyed this. This was really awesome.
I hope it was a success for you. I hope this chat.
My measure of success, yes. I feel
it. Oh, thank goodness.
All right, everybody. Well, I'm JT.
And I'm Jordan, and I am so stinking proud of you.
Oh, man.
Yes, back I'm talking to our listeners, too. Yes.
Back at you, baby, and out there, so proud of everybody.
That's right.
All right.
Until next time.
Be brave, beautiful friends.
Woo.